following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations. Welcome back to the podcast here, the old show. It's called From Radioland. Last week, we began a wonderful conversation with Mr. Howard Grimes. If you haven't heard it yet, I recommend that you stop this and go back and listen to it. Listen to the previous episode before this one, before you continue on. I'll tell you why. This is a pretty heavy episode. Howard is an absolutely remarkable human being, and he has endured so much in his life. And you're going to hear a very incredible story in this episode that he tells that is probably one of the most moving things I've ever heard a human being discuss. And it is indeed a very spiritual thing that happened to Howard. To him is real as anything, and it affected him so much in his music and his career and in his life I just felt honored to be in his presence when he told the story, because as he says, he'd never really told the story before, and there it was as it happened live on the air at Radio Memphis, and we were right there in the middle of it, and he got to tell the story. Plus, you're going to hear some of this music, and you're going to hear more of the wonderful stories and the life and the history of Mr. Howard Grimes. He continues part two from Radioland.
Radio Memphis.
Get a day job, Johnny, earn some extra pay. I said, baby, 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 I sing and play all night long. When you first met me, you fell in love with my song. Woman, 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 I ain't got no skills. She says, yo, put a good behind the wheel, Johnny. Get a driving job to pay the bill. Apples on the wheel, harp in my hand. Sign me up and say, Johnny, we want to record your song. Apples on the wheel, hop in my hand. Pine and plant, Junior's hoodoo man. Oh, Lord.
Keep your apples on the wheel.
That's what she tells me.
Keep your apples on the wheel.
Oh, man, let's ride.
Behind the wheel, Johnny, it's a driving that pays the bill.
Apples on the wheel and hop in my head. Pine in the plane, Junior's hoodoo man. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Keep your apples on the wheel.
That's what she tells me.
Keep your apples on the wheel.
Woo, let's ride it, ride. Memphis, Tennessee.
Radio Memphis.
That's a great tune right there from John Namath from the Memphis Grease record, If It Ain't Broke. On drums here, our guest, Mr. Howard Grimes, here ahead of that, Elbows on the Wheel, also from the same record.
Who we just were talking off air about the fact that he played drums on Al Green's How Do You Mend a Broken Heart, which
just blew you right out of the water. Look, didn't it? That's a staple.
He could probably name 10 songs he's played on, and they would all blow me away. It's just that's Memphis. You know, Eric Hughes once said that when you're in Memphis, the people in Memphis don't appreciate what we've got. You got to go outside of Memphis for people to really value the music and the musicians.
So true.
And just you know, you walking down the street and there's a cat that played on behind Al Green and you'd never know it. You know, I mean, Lord knows how many hit records you've been behind.
You know, I really have no idea.
Yeah.
So many, because it started back with Chips. And at that time, Satellite Records, I really didn't have any artists. The only artist they had at that time was William Bell, the Mad Lads, and the Marquise. The Marquise was the backup band when they put me in the band.
Uh-huh.
I already had Booker T, Marvell Thomas, Floyd Newman, Gilbert Cable, Wayne Jackson. But Chips was looking for the drummer, and when he found that in me, then he placed me with the group. Mm-hmm. And it was a funny thing. We didn't have many artists, and it started out with instrumental music. And all instrumental music that was recorded and played later on, they took that sound from the instrumental music, mm-hmm. and they put the vocals that they thought was good enough, mm-hmm. and they put them on the tracks, and that's what started people to listen in that William Bell and Colin Rufus and all of them.
Right.
Because Walking the Dog actually came from the Marquees.
Really?
If you listen at that beat,
mm-hmm.
they were calling it, I didn't know what it was when I was playing it, but when I got in Bowlegs Miller's band, he called it a heebie-jeebie beat. Give me that heebie-jeebie beat. Pop-pop, pop-pop, pop-pop. So I played that all through Satellite with the Marquees. If you listen to all that Morning After, Popeye Stroke, Chips, that started with Chips. I didn't realize it years later until, you know, as the company developed and it grew, Al Jackson just took and flipped everything I did. He vice versed the beat and raised it up. Willie Mitchell always kept me laid back, because he was laid back. So Al just flipped the beat, and he raised everything up.
Yeah, so you're having to go from different styles to different feels depending on what these guys wanted and be able to deliver that quickly, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't just simply, hey, give me a shuffle beat. It was, there was a lot more to it.
Yeah, because, well, you know, all the musician was always saying to me, timing was very important.
Yeah.
They always told me, start on time and end on time. They told me if I played with a group, it may be somebody with rush. It may be a guitar player, mm-hmm. piano player. Somebody might go to running. Mm-hmm. He told me, he said, don't run with him. And I found that out from Willie Mitchell. He said, always bring him back.
That's right.
He said, with him. He said, pull him back. And he learned me how to pull him back. And the way you do that, the drummer, he'll make a press roll or he'll drop a bomb or something and crash. And when he come out of that, the time fall back.
Yeah, right.
He'll realize what's happening.
Like
he up front. Yeah. You know, he'll wake up. Then he get back in pocket. That's how it happened.
I didn't know there was actually a strategy to do that. That's cool.
That is. So I guess all the bass players that you've worked with were always watching you then. Or was it the other way around? Were you watching the bass player?
We watched each other.
Just get,
we fed off each other because most of the bass players I play with great bass players though.
Yeah.
Because what really was my sound was there's a great bass player, a school teacher, Mitchell Rose, named Robert McGee.
Mm-hmm.
He played upright bass as jazz bass player. when I was playing out the Curvis with Ben Branch Band, the Lagos, Loris Thomas, and all of them, one night we was getting ready to do the gig, and he told me, he said, Howard, he said, do you know that your drum's supposed to be tuned? I didn't know what he was talking about, because all I did was turn knobs and sit down and play. So what happened? He said, I'm going to show you. And this was really amazing to me. That's really why nobody knows. Willie didn't even know it, because when I came to hear him, when he found out the sound I had on drums, McGee, the same notes on drums is on the bass. Same notes.
Yeah.
And what he did, he showed me the notes. He wrote the note on my drum, the snare, the tenor tom.
Right.
Like your middle tom and your low tom.
Yes, and the low tom.
Yeah, four tom.
He wrote the notes on them. And he showed me, and I turned, when I hit it,
yeah,
right with his bass, the tune, it was there. And I was listening, so he was training my ear. He said, now, learn that. Learn the sound. He said, then I want you to erase it off. Because he didn't want no other drummer.
Oh, no other drummer to figure it out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's how it happened. So I was so good once I learned it. I never played without tuning. And I'm so good now at tuning until when I came to Willie, because Al Jackson was pretty good on tuning.
Yeah.
But it was a way that I had set, because it go back to Gene Cooper. I listened to where his tone was. But when McGee told me, he said, well, yeah, find your tone. So he gave it to me. And when I found it, it was just like they used to say about the Japanese. The name, they were saying they had different pots and paint, ping pong and that kind of stuff. So the drums is ding, 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 the same way. Uh-huh. Ding, 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 you know, like you ring a doorbell. Yeah.
Right.
And so what happened is once I learned that, and when I came to Willie was so fascinated over the sound of my drums. Him and I really got very close. We got, and before he would do a session, he would always call me and he said, we're going to work on the drums a couple of days before you come in. So him and I would be there, and Mr. Cantrell would go. They always went in the board. I used to wonder why he'd go in that board before I do a session. So I asked Willie one day, I said, Willie, I said, why y'all be in that board? He said, well, I cut you hot. He said, I open all the pots up on you that I don't miss nothing you play.
Wow.
So that's...
It's better to take it out later.
Yeah. Than, absolutely.
Than, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what went down. So we got so into one another, so close.
Right.
And he started teaching me and showing me and telling me. And I wanted to learn. I wanted to know these things. And the more that we worked, then he started putting the drums. If you notice, when you hear them tracks, it's the drums and the bass. The bass drum bounces off of the bass.
Yeah.
So when I'm playing, Leroy is playing one pattern, and I'm playing a straight, and Leroy's doubling.
Sounds like, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I...
So that's what's happening.
I feel like I've just been to school. Exactly. And I'm not a drummer,
it's
but
great,
I get it, though.
That
I
mean, is cool. Yes.
So when you have your drums tuned, then is it just good for that key, or that's just your sound? That's, you know.
That's my sound.
That's your sound, yeah.
It's good for anything I record.
Yes, right.
There's a lot of drummers who don't bother to tune. That's,
they've never thought of
that's
it.
That's been a major problem, yeah. Though. That's what Willie always said. And that's what I was taught. Drummers never took the time to find out how to tune their drums. They just sit down and beat them and play. And then when I hear a band playing, I can tell right off.
You know, I say, oh, man, the
drummer, man. Come on, man.
Sound like a bucket, man. You know, sound like a bunch of
I mean, I think in my storied career, I've only ever played with two drummers that tune their drums. And the first time I saw that, I was like, what are you doing, man?
I'm tuning the drum.
And he explained it to me, all those drum heads play a note just like a string or a reed or anything else. And that just blew my mind. I thought you just beat on those things.
Well, it's like in the symphony, in the timpani, the big kettle drum with the pedal on there. Now, they're actually playing chords
the timpani drums at the beginning of the 2001 theme. I don't know what it's called, but that's a 1/4 interval. That's a boom, 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 boom.
And those
are notes, yeah. You can play those notes on your guitar.
Yeah, so a lot of bass. But a lot of rock and blues guys are just sitting there going, whoa. My head has just been expanded. Yeah, tune your damn drums. What the hell's wrong with you guys? You heard it here. An industry secret.
Now, Howard, I got to ask you. I just saw from your list of people you've worked with. You've worked with Robert Cray? What did you do with Robert Cray?
I played with him at the Orpheum.
Yeah.
The first, what was it, the Blues? It was something like Blues Society. I was a member of the Blues Society at one time. But that was on Dick King Cole.
Okay.
WLOK, and what happened? They put on Pantop Perkins, Seal Johnson, Robert Cray.
That was one of those called the W.C. Henney Awards, I think.
Yes.
The Henney Awards, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the W.C. Henney Awards, yeah.
And I had the pleasure to play Phone Booth. We played behind Robert. I also worked with Stevie Ray Vaughan, too, because that was the first time I had opportunity to work with him that night. And also Dorothy Moore.
Man.
And that was my first experience with those people, which was a great night. And Robert Cray was such a beautiful guy to work with, man. Somewhere down the line in the future, later on, man, Robert Cray cut one of my songs I wrote called Stepping Out On You.
What's the name of the song?
Stepping Out On You.
You wrote that?
See there? There's another one there.
I tell you what.
You're just scraping the surface, too.
I know.
I know. This is,
Mr. Grimes, you've been part of my life, my entire life, and I don't even know you. also, Sandra, you worked with Slim Harpo, or you did something with Slim Harpo? What is that?
Back during the late 50s with WDIA,
right.
They had... what you call Starlight Review, Good Real Review. I had the pleasure to play both of those concerts with the two bands. The only two bands they used was Ben Branch Band and Bowlegs Miller Band. And what the way that the headline was, WDIA with Mr. A.C. Williams, Nat D., Rufus Thomas, Honey Boy, Martha Jean. Those was the top jocks, man.
Yeah.
Along with Bless My Bone Way, because they would have the gospel show, too. Yeah. But what happened is they would book these acts that I hear on the radio every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that I would have been the one playing with these guys one day. And the first show I did was the Good Real Review. That's when Elvis Presley came to, because they got a picture of Rufus in an Indian suit with Bobby Blue Bland. And that was the first time I saw Bobby Blue Bland Band and B.B. King. And they had Mickey and Sylvia, Love is Strange. I played behind them. I played behind Charlie Inez Fox. I played behind... Mickey and Sylvia. I played behind, there was so many. That first show I did, I was excited, over
that.
I
can see why.
And that's just it's a cavalcade of stars.
It took off from that.
Yeah.
And then I had the pleasure to do the Good Real Review. And the Good Real Review was, I I can't. I tell you, man, I'm getting kind of old, you know. I can't think of some of these artists. I've had them in my heart so long.
Right. Well, yeah, you get around all these guys all these years, and it's hard to keep them all together.
But you know, that's every little aspiring musician boy's dream or girl's dream is to just get up there and back those people you hear on the radio all the time.
Yeah, I work with Lloyd Price, Theo La Killa. She had a big record called The Love of My Man.
Mm-hmm.
Mob Johnson. I played behind Marvin Gaye, Temptation. These guys weren't famous then. These guys was just getting started, because the way they had it set up, the record deal was WDIA would book the hottest acts. They would call the company and see who had the top record. They made a deal to bring them in, pay the expenses, and put them up and would play their record. That's how they did it back then. So I had opportunity, with all that going on, I had opportunity to play with these wonderful acts. And they turned out later on to be super mega stars. So I had opportunity when they was coming up.
When they were coming up.
Future historians will call that the Grimes effect.
Yes. The Grimes effect, yes.
Exactly.
So that's how it did. That's how it happened, man.
You had mentioned to us off the air that you're getting ready to get back into the studio and put something together yourself now.
Well, Otis Clay was just at our home a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Darryl Carter was there too. And we were sitting up talking about some of the material I had said earlier about that we cut it, that I did with Al Green's studio, and what had happened. Otis Clay decided to want to do an album, because we got some great music along with Spencer Wiggins. Got a gospel record coming out on Spencer Wiggins. Scott, as I'm speaking, I talked to him. He told me that it's being mastered, so it's been given to, so that'll be out on Spencer. And song I've been wanting to cut to Derek Carter and I wrote called On My Job Working Hard. It's a bad record, man. I'm talking about it. May put working people back to work. I'm being straight up, man. Long time, man. These records, we've been had.
Right.
And they great tracks, funky, great stories, you know. And it's time. I got with Scott, and it's just time that, you know, all of this is to come. Memphis to come back to actually what it was in my time. I want to see it.
I'm with you there, sir.
Yeah. And I think we're there. I think it's a good year for us.
Yeah, we kind of, before we started talking on here, I'd love your opinion on it, because maybe I'm young and naive and idealistic, but I want to believe it's coming back.
Oh,
you know,
it's coming.
They're saying, you know, there's lists saying that 2015 is the year to watch the Memphis music scene. You see what's happening in Overton Square.
Yeah.
You see what's going on with, you know, I mean, everybody talks about how the music industry is hurting.
Absolutely.
But I don't know that the music's not hurting. The music's great.
No.
It's just that those big record labels are hurting.
Absolutely.
But I think people are starting to turn to the internet, turning more and more to the internet. Of course, we live and breathe by this here at Radio Memphis, that people are turning to those local and independent artists. And of course, Memphis has a lot to offer when you start talking about independent music.
And that's the reason why I want to see it, because I was a part of it as a kid.
Sure.
And it have carried my career. And since Preston came on the scene, I've been able to share some of the things I've been wanting to say for years that I had inside me that I couldn't and wouldn't say anything, because they didn't allow me, they didn't want me to say nothing. But it's worth it. It's been a great ride I've been on. The ride has been great, and I just thank God that I'm able to have a memory that I can share this and write a book too. I just got a call from Brad Webb for October. They're setting up this festival over on the square.
Yes, sir. Actually, Mark and I are both.
And we were talking.
Radio Memphis, we're involved in that too. So.
Okay, well,
yeah,
Brad called me and he talked to me about Otis Clay.
Yes,
in the high rhythm section headliner. So we're putting that together.
Wow, that's very good.
I just heard this Friday that from the horse's mouth from John. So yeah, that's fantastic. That's
great.
That
news.
Festival is gonna be a big deal, I think, for the city.
I'm very excited about doing it, man. Otis, I got right on it to Otis, man, and he just left my home, man, a week ago. And he said, "Hey, let's do it."
Cool.
So I got in touch with Brad. So he called Brad. So it's up in October. I think Brad told me it's the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of October.
That's right.
First weekend
in October. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be nice. It'll be a good time.
And I know we're doing all we can to, of course, I have also my day job life involved in it from there too. But I work for an advertising agency. They're doing the creative for this festival. And they're really, the goal is they want to get young people into it. It's not just about, you know, it's not the tourist blues. It's not just old folks playing music. It's come out and have a good time. Exactly. It's shake your ass.
And come see some good stuff.
Yes, right. And see what Memphis music
has
to offer.
That's what it's about. That's it. You know, that's the way I was raised. That's the way I was brought up. And like I said earlier, I want to see it, and I know it's going to happen because since I've been with Scott, I've often talked to Scott for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And we've been talking and I've been sharing things. So everything pretty much that I've been shared, because I'm a Bible believing man. My faith is strong. And, you know, I had an experience and I know there's life after death. I know that there's a God from what I went through. And, I saw the light. It wasn't, it was joy when I seen it. You know, I lost my home and I was homeless for about 2-3 months. But nobody harmed me. I was sleeping in my car and I was ashamed to go to my mother. Old as I was,
right.
I never experienced none of this. But my faith was what carried me. I had a friend of mine that deceased. He had gone to Al Green's church. And what had happened is he brought me a Bible. I had never read the Bible. I'd been baptized. But I thought that was it. But after death hit me so hard, and I didn't know how to read the Bible, so I asked God. And I heard a voice speak to me. He said, "Open it, turn to the first page." I turned to it. I heard his voice reading to me. And I knew it was God. So I listened. That's all I had. They had turned my lights off, everything. I died. I literally died. And I didn't know it, but I had read in Ecclesiastes where it says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord."
Right.
So I knew this. And I experienced it. So when I woke up, I saw this light in the tunnel. And I heard the voice say, "Walk to the light." I walked, and the light got bright. And when it got, I saw the figure of the body clothed in white linen. I couldn't see the face, but from the shoulder down, he had his arms out like that. And I just walked straight up in his arms. I walked, but I was looking like I'm looking at us sitting here. When we can see each other. The sun, it was like the sun gives light.
Right.
It was sitting over the body. And I kept saying, "I can't see no face." Then I heard the voice speak. He said, "I'm sending you back." I said, "I don't want to go back." He said, "No." He said, "You must go back." He said, "I'm sending you back." He said, "You've obeyed me well." Just like that. He said, "Now when I send you back," he said, "don't go down there." And started telling witches. He said, "Because they're going to call you crazy." So I remember what I was hearing, but I didn't know. But when I woke up, I looked at my hands, I touched my body, I said, "What happened?" I got up and went in the restroom. I looked in the mirror in my face, and I saw the face of Christ in me, because it said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And when you're in Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they live in you. That's what it says. We come to life. So I saw the thorns on my head, and I shook my head. I walked away from the mirror. I come back. I looked. Did it second time. I walked in. And when it finished the third time, I said, God is in me. That's what I said. Who is going to believe me? So I was careful about what I would say, because I had to remember what had been said to me. So he said, speak when I command you. And I was just commanded to share this. Because this didn't just come out. You
that's
know.
Awesome. Yes. But, that's a beautiful, know, beautiful thing.
Yes.
So, you know, after I was sent to Scott, I shared Scott what I'm sharing with you guys. And God told me so many things is going to happen. And they had already started with Cindy, John, yeah. And Deke Dickinson and them. And then I went on two tours. And now we're working on our album that'll soon be out. And God said that Electric Funk was the place. That's where this Memphis sound is there. And I got a friend out of New Jersey named Red Kelly. And he heard about, he come to my house and we was talking. He told me, he said, Howard, let the Memphis sound stay where it was born, in Memphis.
Amen.
Because they was trying to move me somewhere else. He said, this is the Memphis sound. This is where it was original from. Let it stay here. And he was right. So he thanks the world of the group, all of the guys, you know. And we did a big thing that people in Memphis don't even have no idea, that Preston Lauterbach and Red Kelly, very close friends of mine, O.V. Wright didn't have a monument. They went out to his gravesite.
Yeah.
And it was covered with grass.
Oh, man.
And Red Kelly and them, they're such a fan of O.V. Wright.
Oh, yeah.
And he was shocked, as great as he were.
I know.
And all the records I had cut on him. So right. What they did, they come to me and sit down and talked about doing a fundraiser. We did it at Ground Zero, Morgan Freeman's place. So we brought Otis Clay in, and O.V. Wright's son. O.V. Wright got a son. He's on the sheriff department, but he sounds like his daddy. Huh. Just like
really?
It.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, too.
And this concert went over so huge that night. They raised the money, and now he's got a big tombstone, you know.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's nice.
So that started Memphis, because nobody knew these guys come out of New York and New Jersey.
Right, right. That's
yeah.
And I was fortunate enough that they come to me and hooked me. I didn't know what was going on, you know, and they got to talking. But ever since that have happened, man, I'm telling you, it's just been so much has been happening. And it's been kind of on low profile, but it's going on.
It's going on.
It is, yeah. It's not going anywhere.
So would you say you're doing the Lord's work then by moving this music forward?
Well,
I had
to do that.
Yeah.
Because, for so long, God carried me so many places, you know, and brought me home. And I played with a couple of gospel groups, Seven Brothers, and I played with another group over in West Memphis. I can't think of the name, but most musicians, you know, I have to say this, when things get bad, guys go in church.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you ain't supposed to do that, you know. I mean, guys go in church because, you know, the preachers don't know, no, they want bands.
Right, right.
But the musicians want the money. So they're going in and playing the churches.
Right.
To be like in the clubs and the gigs. Okay. Well, they tried to get me to do that, but I wouldn't do it because I told them, I said, well, man, you know, God take care of me. He had me every place. I've been to Japan. I've been to Filipinos. I've been to Okinawa. I've been everywhere, so I've been brought back safely. You know, I said, so I'm not gonna go if I don't go to help the church. I'm not going for them to pay me
right.
No mm-hmm. money mm-hmm. because God yeah. still uses me, and He puts me out for public. So I get paid with royalties and stuff, right, and everything, all this. So, I mean, I don't need to take nothing. I need to give something. And that's what I do, you know. So it's always been really, it's been a blessing to me to be able to do these. And I try to do all that I can now since I've been with Scott, man. And, you know, I just have to keep saying about him because I really didn't know he took 6 years training with Willie Mitchell.
I didn't know that
neither
either.
Did I.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
That must have
he
been.
He told me.
See, when I met Scott, I mean, we were in our early 20s. I haven't talked to him in years. I hadn't seen him in years. So I
great
guess
guy, man.
A lot has happened since then.
Beautiful cat, man. He shocked me because when I went to his studio, he played me some stuff, and I heard them horns. And I said, man, who are these guys? Sound too much like Wayne, Andrew, and them. I said, man. He said, I'm just going to play. And I said, you got that sound here, man. I said, that's for Skip Dye.
Right.
Isaac Hayes. Right. Kind of player. And he told me, he said, well, he said, I took 6 years training. I know it. I said, man, I know you knew something. I said, when I heard them tracks, man, I said, you sound too much like Willie Mitchell, man. Because I knew something was in him, man.
Yeah.
Because it was there. And that's what I had been looking for.
Yeah.
Because after Willie passed, I really, I didn't think I ever play anymore, because I didn't want to play with the guys' heads just ain't together here. You know,
right,
the guys, the musicians, is mostly out for what little they know and learn, and they more for the girls. The girls is okay. There's nothing wrong with them, but they taught me to play your acts.
Yeah.
You know, the girls gonna come. Floyd Newman used to tell me all the time. He said, "Hey man, you ain't got to do such and such thing, man. All you got to do, they see you. We already on front.
That's right.
So all you got to do is play your act. If you want to be with you, they'll be with you. If you don't want to be with you, don't worry about it."
That's good advice, right there.
That's the way I've always.
That's been, right on the money, know? Right there.
You know, that is great advice for not just musicians, but for everybody.
For everybody.
For every man out there,
just
man.
Do your
that's
thing.
That's the way it's been, man. Yeah.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
This episode is going to be completely different, and I'll tell you why. I'm drinking. Okay, don't judge. Miller High Life, there's a 32-ounce can. You get 2 for $3 at this local mini mart that's just down the road. Daddy's on a budget, you know what I'm saying? Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the people that don't like you to drink, they will tell you that drinking alone is a problem. And it's not. I think everybody who enjoys a drink, there's a thing that goes on in your head where you need to let the monkey out. And that's what this is all about. So in theory, I'm not really drinking alone because I have you here. Enjoy a beverage with me. We'll drink together. In vino veritas, because wine lies the truth, the old Latin saying goes.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
Mr. Howard Grimes, thank you so very much for your
time.
Thank
you, sir.
And we're looking forward to the book, looking forward to the new record.
Yes.
You know, I'm thrilled for you. You've had a great storied career so far, and I'm glad you're still doing the work.
Thank you very much.
Love to do this again sometime. If
sure,
you,
we can do it
you're
again.
You're open to it. Yeah
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Love to do it.
When you get that record done, bring it on by here. We'll get it on the air. We'll have us a good
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
And I'd like to say one thing.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate Mark because my life have actually took a turn since he gave me the Blues Society at Elvis Presley's first home.
Yeah. Right.
I had never been there, and that was such an honor to be there that night, Earl of Pearl and myself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, you know, things been happening ever since that. I don't know where they all coming from, but I know it's a blessing and it's all good, so
Oh, I think the tides are changing for the city of Memphis for sure.
Absolutely.
And I tell you,
it's definitely changing. I'll tell you, it really is.
Absolutely. And I'll second what you just said, because this show would certainly not be what it is without Mark Caldwell. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's our executive producer, yeah, quite frankly.
He's the man. I was just surprised, you know.
Didn't you just get honored at something? Didn't I see you got some kind of?
Yeah, it'll be in October.
Yeah.
It's the Stone Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, the newsletter that I write for the Memphis Police Society. It's been honored with one of the Stone Awards.
Put you on the spot and make you talk about yourself.
No, it's based over at the House of Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And Stan Cam Mackenzie. And this is a big year. It's the 20th year that they're doing, I think. I might be wrong. But it's a big year they've got coming up. So
that's
anyway,
awesome.
The awards are in October.
Well, well deserved, sir, for what you do for Memphis music.
Thank you. I love it.
Well, I'd like to say to you guys your name and make sure I don't forget.
Jeff, I'm Jeff Janovitz.
Jeff, yes. I got to remember you, Jeff.
Good to meet you,
I'm
Mr.
Rick.
Grimes.
You're Rick.
Yes, sir.
Got you, sir.
Howard,
no,
thank
Mark.
You. You know, I mentioned earlier about how you probably, or how I felt as though I had been taken to school on this thing, and I got a great education as to what the Memphis music sound was like, where that Memphis stew comes from. Now you know what it's like. Now you've got the same education as me and Jeff got that wonderful evening. So fantastic. Got to mention it. John Namath, Willie Mitchell, Howard Grimes, all the music that you've heard over the past two episodes have been used by permission from the writers and the artists themselves. We appreciate their cooperation in this. It was an education for all of us, and it was nice to hear that music placed into context for what it was really like. Back in 1967, I believe it was, all the way to the present. It's still there. It's still viable. It's still a real thing. It was very special. Yeah, I could not have been more impressed with the whole evening as it unfolded. It was just truly, I'm almost speechless over it. But, you know, that would be sort of stupid for a radio guy like me to be speechless, so I won't be. My thanks to Jeff Janovitz for sitting in and helping me out with this. It was a great episode. Also, my undying thanks to Mr. Mark Caldwell for making it all happen. And, of course, our special guest that evening and for these past two episodes here from Radioland, the great Howard Grimes. For more, you can find him. Search him out. He's great. He's going to be playing in all sorts of places. You can catch him with the Bow Keys. Howard Grimes, Grimes. You can find him almost anywhere and pick up some records from the 60s all the way to the present that's got that Memphis sound. You're more than likely going to hear him beating the skins on it. How about that? So there you go. Fantastic. You heard what's coming up next time as we kind of slide back onto the usual stuff here from Radioland. I'm Rick Cheddar. That's it. Yeah, that's all we got this time. So thanks to everybody who has subscribed and continue to do so. iTunes. We're also on your other devices, on Apple and Android, of course, and Android and stuff like that. And you can find us at TuneIn, player.fm. Of course, the home of it, radio-memphis.com, and cheddar.blogspot.com, the written home from Radioland. There you go. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.